Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And we're very blessed to have with us Pastor Russ Tisdar. And as most of you who listen already know, you can mail a letter to Pastor Tisdar at Post Office Box 755, Union Town. That's one word, Uniontown, Ohio. The zip code is 44685. The email is shatterxmail@sbc. That would be like Sam Boy Cat, sbcglobal.net. And the website is shatterthedarkness.net. And tonight we're going to talk about a variety of things. One of which is apparitions. Another one would be ghosts and masking and things like this. Anyway, there's a lot of things going on, and people are beginning to see some things that are very disturbing. So we're going to talk about some of this tonight. Hi, Russ.
Hi, Georgianne.
You know, we always start with, we're going to talk about this, and boo, we go way off into another thing. But, you know, first of all, apparitions. What is the real famous one that everybody talks about, those children in Portugal that saw the Virgin Mary in the sky?
Sure.
Russ, even at that time, could there have been technology available for someone, some deep black agency to be experimenting with that kind of thing?
Oh, there's no question about that. No question about the technology for hologram and a projection like that. I mean, you can go to some museums and see them project, and it looks like a person standing right before you, out of history, talking and sharing.
Yeah.
We've seen that. And so holograms, you know, like that are real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question that it could be used in a very deceptive way.
About how far back could they have done this? You know, this was with those children that saw this apparition of the Virgin Mary, and there were, oh, why can't I think of the name of this thing?
You talking about Metagorgi?
No. It's another one.
Okay.
One of the popes allegedly read the what this virgin person told these children.
Right.
One of the children, a girl, was put into a convent and kept there. And one of the popes who read this, it's alleged, fell down on his knees and died.
Wow. Well, I'm not sure about how long ago that was. I know, you know, technology-wise,
mm-hmm.
Just like friends that I know, you know, in military, in government, whatever, they've always told me that whatever we see out right now is 20 years old, or at least that they're 20 years more advanced than what we're getting to see. So I don't know how far back that kind of technology would have been there, but and it could have been technology. It could have been, you know, a real supernatural occurrence.
This was Fatima.
Fatima, okay,
yeah.
Sure.
What year did that, around what time frame, can you remember?
You know, I don't know for sure the time frame, but I know that it's ongoing.
Yeah.
It's ongoing, sure.
Well, what I'm wondering is if they had access to technology like that back then.
Yeah. That I really don't know. That I don't. I can't answer that question there because I'm not sure.
Well, another issue is when someone looks at someone, and I've heard of this from several people over the years, when someone is looking at someone and they can see almost a mask over the person's face that either resembles them or someone else, kind of like a ghosty sort of thing?
Sure.
Okay. Is that something that's being exuded from the person?
It could very well be in the case of demonic mounting or possession. Another person may get a glimpse. People who have the charismatic gifting of discerning spirits, there's been times, numerous times, that we've heard stories where they can see. We've been in deliverance sessions where, if you think in terms of a negative, of, you know, like film and the negative, that you know, the old negative, and if you look at that old negative, and it's like, you know, you have to really kind of look at it hard and look at to see the picture, and it's kind of that reddish, ghosty-looking, you know, negative. And, you know, we've seen that at times with spirits on and in people, but it can be that a person has discernment. And I think seeing in that world can only occur through the Spirit of God opening, you know, the eyes and so forth, or the spirits themselves. A lot of people who do have demonic presence or they've been willing to take on and receive abilities.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about opening the third eye. Well, the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 talks about how the Spirit of God, that the eyes of our heart can be enlightened by the Spirit of God, be opened up, and that we can then know and perceive spiritually some of the depths of what God has given. So there is that sense that we have a spiritual capacity to perceive and see. And that can be opened by the Spirit of the living God for us to point to the Word, to Christ, to God, whereas those who open up that area by demonic presence, numerous times, Georgianne, where they have had the ability to see, they can describe demons. I even had one guy that was petrified, and he drew what they looked like.
Oh my goodness.
And we went through a deliverance, and he was literally terrified, and he drew the descriptions, and they were ugly.
Yeah.
They were very ugly.
Well, you know, the old grimoires out of the Middle Ages, some of them were very graphic about how these demons would manifest.
Sure.
And what they looked like, and pretty scary stuff.
Well, and I think that's part of the issue, you know, especially, again, if someone believes the Bible, they're going to have to believe that, you know, these beings not only exist. See, I think a lot of people think in terms of, we believe that they exist out there somewhere, but there's no sense of tangibility. But we have to realize that all these fallen ones and all these spirits, they have names, they have personality, they look, I mean, they have a look. They look different. Even John, when guided by the Spirit of God in Revelation 16, said that he saw coming out of the mouth, and that's an indication of high level ritual coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. He said they looked like. Now he used that phrase a lot in the book of Revelation because of the kind of language used in describing some of the incredible events. The spiritual events behind the scenes that bring causation to the physical events. But he said they look like frogs. And so the demonic realm, they do look, I mean, from every indication I have in all the deliverances, those who have seen the demonic side and were petrified and so forth, they're very horrific looking. They look monstrous, and they look hideous, I don't know. I think we would lose our wigs if we ever had our eyes opened to see into that realm in such a way that we could see them completely.
Yeah. Well, but isn't that what is going to happen at some point?
Well, if you think in terms of the abyss being opened, obviously these creatures that come out are the demonic hordes. Obviously, they come and they manifest in the physical realm. And obviously in Genesis 6, at one point, the Watchers, fallen ones, did manifest in the physical realm and created mutants that would also be looked somewhat hideous. So they're of a different class. They're of a different, literally, they're not. It's not the human race. It's the fallen angelic race. It's fallen spirits. And they are not only twisted in their nature, but it seems that they're twisted in their makeup, in their structure. They look twisted. Now that doesn't mean they can't morph and make themselves at least appear to look good.
Yeah.
In many cases of deliverance at high level Luciferian, you know, satanic ritual abuse cases. In the beginning, you know, the spirit beings will look very nice to them. But when the encounter occurs and they want to get rid of the spirits, then they change into what they really look like.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing occurs, and they're always terrified. And I can remember even the faces of some of the deliverances that we went through with people, to watch their faces. Even if their eyes are closed and they're seeing into that realm and we're dealing and the demon's speaking through their mouth, it's an incredible thing to see this expression of horror and disgust on their faces, because they obviously see.
Well, okay, what about, what is a doppelganger and what is that? I mean, where does it come from?
Well, I'm not sure concerning, you know, that's like a double of you somewhere who's the evil double that does evil stuff. There's, you know, like supposedly someone that looks just like you but is obviously the opposite as far as they're completely evil. Now, it could be a demonic thing.
Yeah.
I really have no question about how demons can morph and look like relatives who've died. They can look like a lot of things. An angel of, they can make themselves look like an angel of light, a beautiful translucent spirit. But the test in all of it is who do they acknowledge as Lord of heaven and earth, and who do they fear?
That's right.
But without that authority of Christ, there's really no way. That's why there's going to be such. There is right now, and will even be more so. Such major deception and delusion in this area, because the world is heating up supernaturally.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely heating up, and there's so many experiences now. Astral projection, leaving the body with a spirit, seeing and encountering beings out there in the astral plane. You know, you have Ed Dames remote viewing Satan himself and saying he's literally looked at him.
I doubt that.
Well, I doubt that too, but I don't doubt that maybe Satan is taking a look at him.
Yeah.
And that's something more to be concerned about than getting a free look at Satan himself.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people have made remarks like Satan is a program. Satan is a machine. Have you ever heard anything like that, Russ?
Well, the only thing I've ever really heard as far as from skeptics is that Satan is just a figment. You know, he's a creation of our, you know, mentality and so forth or whatever. But he's not a machine. The Bible describes him as once in the anointed cherub, perfect in all his ways. You know, we have revelation of what he is.
But what is a cherub? And then in Scripture it talks about his pipes.
And oh, sure.
You know, what does all that mean?
Sure. The pipes and tabrets in the King James language referring to the musical abilities, probably. And some believe the Hebrew there, the phrase has something to do with musical abilities, communications, you know, depending on how that Hebrew phrase or word specifically.
Is it musical, or could we use the term frequencies?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know that for sure. I'm sure that again, in spiritual warfare, you can feel. People talk about New Age, about feeling vibes and frequencies and so forth. Mm-hmm. If you're referring to on a spiritual level, yeah, there is that sense of, you know, I could walk into a house that might be that has had demonic activity, and you can feel the wave of the. It's to me sometimes it's like if you take two magnets, turn them, you know, the opposite ends or whatever, and you know how you can try to put them together, but they won't go together because right. there's a repelling. And there's obviously an actual force there. So in that sense of their presence, just like the Holy Spirit, you can feel his presence and power overwhelmingly at times. And there's the other side, which after you've been around it enough, and you know, there is. You get the sense of them, and I think they can kind of send their a presence, like it can strike you like a wave. And different ones have different abilities that we found in deliverances. Some demons have particular functions and what they operate like and what they do. Like, so it's very,
like
very
what?
Possible.
Like what, Russ?
Some would be just functioning in the area of lust, and they could send, like we dealt with this one person one time, I can remember the spirit coming up and looking through this girl's face and saying, you know, looking right at me and saying, very seductively beginning to say stuff. And I immediately wrote down spirit of lust. And mm-hmm. the pastor that was with me also separately wrote down something. And we commanded and said, what are you, and so forth. And the spirit just said, I am lust. And all of a sudden, Georgianne, I felt this wave of a dirty type of perverted sexuality. I felt it like it was almost like it was like a full presence that wanted to grab a hold of me and draw me its way. But the moment I felt it, it's like inside of me immediately there was a repelling, like a revulsion towards it.
Yeah.
And I then within seconds rebuked the spirit, commanded it to stop it, and commanded it to leave. Now, after it was all over and done, I asked the other pastor what he wrote down, and he wrote down the same thing. He said it was this is before we, you know, engaged it. You know, he knew too what it was. So they have a function that way. Some of them have abilities where they might come into a person and give them the ability to see into the spirit world, to make predictions, to be, well, like a psychic, to have healing powers.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to counterfeit any kind of charismatic gifting in the scriptures, they can unleash the counterfeit tongues, the languages. The Bible talks about the gift of languages, or the day of Pentecost. So we've had many when we've done deliverance and the demonic presence left, they can no longer speak in that counterfeit language.
Interesting. Wow.
And normally, through that counterfeit language, this is how some of them used deception. They would lay hands on people in a church and begin to, in churches where they did not check the gift of tongues and so forth, they just let it go, you know, kind of out of control and allowed anybody and everybody to speak without having interpretation. So a lot of the infiltrators, they like that because when they begin to speak in counterfeit tongues, they believe that they can help transmit confusion, demonic presence, curses to the Lord, curses against people. They see it as a vehicle of unleashing satanic presence and power.
Wow. Yeah, that could be very dangerous, that's for sure. Well, we've talked a lot in the past, Russ, about the veil and the thinning of the veil, and also about time. Now, there's some very interesting things in Scripture about time. And when time is no more, how might we think of that as a shift in frequency, or or what? Because in the book of Revelation it says, you know, you'll have no more need of the sun.
Work right.
Yeah.
Well, because we move because we've been given the gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
And when the mortal puts on immortality, we step into a new realm.
Yeah.
And that realm is, there is a sense that it's timeless, and it wouldn't even be the sequence like a chain of link, you know, like a links, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not a matter even of when you say eternity, that it, you think in terms of linear.
Yeah.
That it stretches out, you know, day after day after day after day, forever. No, eternity just exists. It just is.
It's hard to fathom.
It is, you know, and there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, God has set eternity in our hearts, but we cannot fathom what he's done from beginning to end.
Wow.
And so there is, I mean, yeah. Years ago at Youth for Christ, I used to, when we did the subject on death,
yeah.
That was one of the most popular between that sex and the demonic or supernatural world that always drew the most kids. And when we talked about it, I had them always practice. I mean, I did this for years. I had year after year, you know, with new groups. I'd say, you know, in the middle of everything, I'd say, well, let's all close our eyes for a moment. And I said, just imagine for a moment. Imagine that you're erased and you never exist again.
Mm.
And I tried to get everybody to do that year after year. And guess what? I've never had a student ever say, well, you know what? I can't conceive that. I can't conceive not existing. I can't conceive never being. That's because there is a sense of eternity. You know, there's a, you know, eternal, you know, that we step into eternity on either side.
Yeah.
We were made for that in the first place. Death is what intervened. Death came in. It's an intrusion, Julian. It's an intrusion and abnormality. That's why we have such trouble with it. Death is not a friend of the human race. It's part of the judgment. The Bible even says in Hebrews 2 that Satan, who held the human race in fear of death, and he had the ability and the power to hold humanity in the fear of death. But of course, Jesus came to destroy him who held us in that fear.
Yeah. Well,
and you'll hear a lot of people at death's door talk about seeing their stories. I mean, I've been in many death sites, you know, in the hospitals as a pastor over the year,
right.
And I've heard people, you know, they'll look up. I remember even our own my wife's own grandfather. We were there, and it's like he was near death's door, but we were starting to talk to him. And he tells us, shh, shh, shh. And it's like he was talking with somebody, and then he would look back at us and say, okay. And he talked to us again, and he said, they're talking, and they're discussing, and they're saying about when my time. And, of course, in a few days, he was gone.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know all that he saw, but many people at that death's door, you know, at that moment, and some, they have been very horrific. There have been others who have screamed out that they saw demonic stuff coming up on the bed.
Mm.
And others have looked up and they, you know, they really said they, you know, pointing is, you know, saying basically there is Jesus. And then they instantly, in seconds, have left.
Yeah.
I've been there many times when that occurred. Even my own grandmother, who I led to Christ, I was there when she left. And it's a weird thing, because they have just lifted up out of their body,
yeah.
And the physical body, you know, at that moment, you know, grows cold and that's where death is.
Right. Well, when death comes, what can someone who confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, say it's somebody who has been a mass murderer, committed genocide in nations, and killed millions and millions. Is that person forgiven totally of that crime?
Well, I would say, you know, if they actually did, yes, because this, the blood of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, and the cross of Jesus, there is no sin bigger than that cross and the grace of God. God's grace superabounds over the depths of men's sin. But here's the issue. People have been that evil and nasty and so forth. And this is, I'm just saying by my own experience over the years. I don't see them in the end turning to Christ. I mean, you don't hear about Nietzsche, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, you know, and others. I'm not saying they didn't or they couldn't or whatever. The thief on the cross, of course, turned to Jesus.
Right.
And so it's possible. But I sure wouldn't play the game with living an evil life and thinking, hey, at the last second, I'm going to turn to Jesus and I'm going to be exonerated.
Well, that kind of thing, you know, we have heard a lot about building up rewards in heaven.
Sure.
And if the blood of Jesus covers somebody like Stalin and others throughout history that have brought genocide and death to countless innocent people, if at that last minute, you know, they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Russ, they wouldn't have any rewards. What I'm trying to say is they would be saved, but we don't really know what for. They wouldn't be in the kingdom, per se.
Well, I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. If you're really truly born again and you're truly saved, you know, you're given the gift of eternal life. So that's there, but you're correct. There would be absolutely no reward as far as the fruitfulness and, you know, what was done afterwards. It's just the issue here, because this is the thing we've heard over the years, you know, people who've raped people and whatever, and you think, how could God forgive them? Well, the truth is that, again, the cross and what Jesus did there is so massive, so big, it so destroys the depths and heights of sin. It so superabounds that it brings you know, annihilation to sin in such a way that the Bible says God doesn't even remember their sins. So, yes, they can be washed by what Jesus paid the price for as a substitute. But on the other side of that picture, Romans chapter 1, sometimes humanity can go so far, Georgianne, that they cross that line and they are reprobate.
Yep, that's true.
And literally, God, it says three times about God handing them over. And if that occurs, if they're handed over because of the unrepentant depths of sin and the commitment and delighting in sin and hardness of heart and so forth, and they've rejected the grace so long and so hard that God releases, but that occurs, there's no coming back.
Good. Would there... DNA also change, Russ, when they are to that point of being just absolutely reprobate? Wouldn't that do something to...
It just seems like it would. It seems like that would, you know, you're so... Because the sin nature is what's been injected into the human race. I've called it before, and I think it's okay theologically to call it the sin code, because... It's a living principle that is in fallen humanity that, you know, according to Romans chapter 8, drives humanity away from God, to be hostile to God. And if we give into that side, that nature, and I'm not even talking about Satan, I'm talking about the nature, the sin nature. If you give into it, you can end up doing any and every kind of sin possible. But I think that the more you do, the more spiritually blackened you become. The more corroded, corrupted, rusted out. I mean, it literally so solidifies your heart. There's a verse in the scripture that talks about even their conscience is seared like with a hot iron.
Yeah.
To where it's almost that again, the personality, the person has gone so far, according to Romans chapter 1, that there's a recompense in their personality, a change. That the sin nature, which, you know, literally is hooked to the satanic side. When you study this out in Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air is now at work in those who are disobedient. There's an operative power Just as the new nature is the Spirit of God dwelling in and connected to the living God, the fallen nature, there is a connection to the satanic side. So the deeper you give into that fleshly side, you reap, the Scripture says you're going to reap destruction. And there's a destroying of your very identity, your very self. It's catabolic to your whole system. And I think that, yeah, I think that there's a mutation. That's what the sin code is all about. Now, Jesus came to destroy it from, you know, from, I mean, he came to blast apart the sin issue, the sin code, the sin nature.
Yeah.
And in Christ alone, are we not only forgiven, but we need to realize there is an operative supernatural power that then enters into us that slices, Romans 6 says, renders powerless the old sin nature. It literally snaps its force. So Romans chapter 8 says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. You have one or the other as the operating force in your life. And one leads you to Christ-likeness, light, godliness, godlikeness, and the other leads you to the other side. And that's why you look at Charles Manson, you think, man, he's like a demon.
Yeah.
And you look at some people, how they can become so evil that they delight in rape, they delight in pedophilia, they delight in like serial killers that just they delight like close to where I live here where they had Jeffrey Dahmer. Obviously like the because humanity, you know, even in the fallen state, still has a sense of the image of God in James left in us, but given over to that dark side, that dark nature, we are changed. And I would say yes. I think it does have an effect in the totality of the physical, but it flows from the spiritual.
Well, when somebody is afflicted in this way, are they conscious of it, Russ? I mean, literally conscious?
Well, conscious in the darkened sense, yeah. I mean, it's like being in a cave where there's no light. You're conscious, but you're in the total darkness. If that's all you know, we, you know, many times in even in the area of deliverance, when we've done deliverance, and the power of God is, you know, literally strikes an individual, and there's a battle between the demonic and the authority of Christ and His presence, and many have given up the demonic because now they found a higher power, something that blasted apart the demonic realm. They only knew the demonic. And I think that people that, you know, have given themselves over to evil, like the Scripture says, they can literally go so far as to sear their conscience. And I think that's a mutation. And when I say a mutation, I say that that means in the bad sense.
Yeah.
Of them no longer being or having the capacity to perceive anything left of the image of God, that they're so overtaken, so entrenched, so even the Scripture says, Romans 6, that to whomsoever you obey, you become a slave. If it's to the flesh of the fallen nature, you literally sink so deep into that side that you can't even really exhibit that a person was meant for God. It's almost as though evil is incarnate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we have a lot of ideas about what is evil. Can a person know what is evil unless they know what is good?
Well, good question. And for a lot of the listeners, maybe again in Hebrews, there's a verse, you know, that speaks about anybody who takes the Word of God and uses it and trains themselves with the Word of God, they can, by the use, the constant use of the Word of God, you can discern good from evil.
Yeah.
And I guess when I like to say when I was lost in doing what I was doing, a lot of things I did, I had no concept of it being wrong or evil, you know, in the sense that everybody else did it, and we just did it. It was the norm. But coming to Christ and the Spirit of God coming in, it's like the lights are thrown on, and you realize mm-hmm. How wrong things are. But you also realize that without the light of Christ and His presence and the Word of Truth, that you were literally trapped in that darkness. And I can remember the day it was back then. I still have memory of how I was, and what it was like. And you can't. And again, I just think the deeper a person gives in to that dark nature, fallen nature, because it is a real operative thing that it drives. Romans 8 says it's hostile to God, won't submit to God, cannot. It drives a person to go only one direction, deeper into darker things, and people hold back. There's people that want to, they want to hit somebody, they want to run somebody over, they want to do a lot of things. People here where I live can't conceive, a mile and a half away from where I live, this officer, Canton police officer, goes over to the girlfriend's house, and he kills the girl who's 9 months pregnant, and he takes the body and hides it out and lets people go for weeks. You know, we had people here, 1,500 people show up to go searching, and all over the woods, right across the street from me, everywhere, looking for this poor girl. Yeah. And of course, they found her, but she was dead, and the baby's dead. How could a person do that? How could a person kill the woman with the live 9-month-old baby on the inside? And so now he's facing. But that's part of the issue. People do things, even if you think in terms of prayer. I've preached in jails before and so forth. People do things they wish they never would have done. They don't know how they did it. They don't, once they get caught, they wish they never would have. But then it's too late.
And a lot of them say they don't even remember doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think that the sin code, not only does it take us to, almost like a, it becomes so, there's an addiction to that side.
Yeah.
And like an alcoholic that might be blackout, rage, a person can black out at high levels of anger and rage and just go just literally, they quote, crazy. And lose control under that nature and do things, and say things. So people say there's things they say they wish they never would have said. Well, the power of Jesus Christ comes in to change our life and give us the power of self-control and free us from that kind of addiction and liberate us to live and to live life that living in the new nature blesses life, blesses others, and gives life instead of stealing it.
Right.
So there's a difference. And I believe when a person is born of the Spirit of God and the new nature is implanted, that literally there is a change. Not only in your dead spirit becoming alive to God, your soulical side, your personality side, becoming alive to God and aware of God, and God in you, but physically, I think there's literally down to the very core of your DNA, there is a implantation of that new nature that affects you and prepares you not only for sanctification, the growing, but glorification when Christ returns. It's already kind of preset.
Yeah. Well, we know that the heavenlies right now are stirring. Something is going on, and a lot of people are feeling it, Russ. I know you know that too, because I'm sure people have made mention of this lately to you. Some people are lately that I've heard of, again, we've talked about this, about, for example, being just standing there and all of a sudden being pushed down on the floor with force, breaking bones. All kinds of, strange, off-the-wall kind of attacks are becoming more and more frequent. And if these attackers cannot seem to get to you personally, then they go after things that you love, like your family. And I've had several reports lately of that kind of thing going on, out of the blue, just out of the blue.
Right.
And we're talking about this unseen world that is, if you know, we go by scripture, is going to be made manifest, increasingly so, as time passes. And I think that, it's really ramping up.
Well, it's really, well, again, since the 60s, we've opened doors.
Yeah.
The dogs, the dogs from hell have come over.
Right.
And to the degree that doors have been opened is the degree to which they can have effect. Speaking through somebody, using somebody, being something that pushes somebody up against a wall in a house that a demonic presence may have taken residence in because of rituals done. Or people being scratched and they're vicious. The demonic realm is vicious. I mean, as we've begun demonic, deliverances at times, demons will literally, like in scripture, throw the person. I've seen their feet come right up into the air and their whole body, yet not even touching the ground, their feet go up, and then it's no different than if a football player would have picked them up by their legs and shoulders, lifted them and threw them down.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, to see that is incredible. To see it is incredible. To see, like, a girl that we knew, I had one of the elders that came over with me, and literally to see her thrown to the ground, her head hit the ground, and it's just simply no different than if some big football player would have grabbed her by her leg and shirt, lifted her and threw her and slammed her.
Yeah.
And that was the demonic presence.
Well, what about somebody that's standing at the top of some stairs or just standing, walking away from their kitchen sink, and
sure,
all of a sudden, with force, they are pushed to the floor and bones are broken. And these people, Russ, are not involved in any kind of witchcraft.
Right. Well, and see, that's where, again, some, the other doors have been opened somewhere. Somebody else opened the door. And it could be that they're in a house where that doorway has been opened, or let the occultists write in and tell us. They know this is true.
Mm-hmm.
When they get into deep left-hand path stuff, they believe that even in astral projection, in doing warfare that way, that they can have physical effect. They're even believing now that they can kill somebody, psychic assassination.
Yeah. Well, I think they've been up to that for some time now.
Sure.
You know, the chaos stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Chaos magic is abounding, and there's so much now on the web concerning it, too. People are taking it. And a lot of what's happening is a lot of folks that are not, I mean, at least in the sense of Luciferians and left-hand pathers, they like to do things in precision and do it right, and they respect the demonic laws in a sense that they follow them. Whereas a lot of dabblers and just people that are grabbing a hold of stuff, it's kind of like a kid grabbing a loaded weapon.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can do things and open things and get crushed themselves and harmed. And that's where certain impulse suicides come from.
Yeah. Well, look at it in the last year or so, Russ, all of these strange things, people aiming for and driving into crowds of people with vehicles, other people going home and killing their whole family and themselves,
right?
Women killing their children. Years ago we didn't hear of things like this.
And look at the movies. Here's when you look at modern culture as a whole, You know, look at how do you analyze and how you read? Well, look at the movies being put out.
Yeah.
And look at the level of supernatural, even in the new Johnny Depp, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, the third one. It's incredible the level of demonic-looking beings, the dead, you know, pirates that are ghosts or whatever still around, and they're all demon acting and evil. Obviously, there's a great demonstration of evil and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That they have to fight, and look at the descriptions there, and the spirits and so forth. Look at Raiders of the Lost Ark. Look at the movies that are out right now. A number of exorcisms of Emily Rose and others just like it. I was at one of the big blockbusters the other day, and as I'm looking through, there's a lot of B movies that are not on the public, you know, screens yet, or they're not. They never will be. But there's a lot of other movies that are made. On every kind of demonic this, demonic that, voodoo, portholes, spirits, incredible amounts of movies. And so when you read culture in that sense and look at some of the modern-day pictures and what are some of the most, you know, you look at ghosts and you look at those who played angels that have fallen, and it's incredible to see the culture depicting this.
Mm-hmm.
And Suspect Zero deals with the issue of remote viewing and the evil side of things that can occur. So we're looking at that, and so we're seeing, again, as you look at the physical realm,
yeah.
I call it looking and seeing shark fins.
Yeah.
We're not seeing, because behind wherever you see shark fins, the entire creature is there. And in the modern culture, looking at movies, hearing some of the music, seeing the books that are out there, seeing the kind of groups that are developing, we're seeing the fins. But we're not seeing, you know, the whole creature yet.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're going to start seeing the face of that creature in a broader way. You know,
with the kind of things that I had mentioned, isn't it also possible, Russ, that they are experimenting with some technology, and they're just, you know, because life is cheap to these people, that they are also experimenting with some technology to see how it works and if they can get it to work?
Oh, sure.
I mean, like the school shootings, and oh my God, it just goes on and on and on.
Well, I think that, and I think there is a growing sense of technology that helps open the doors to the other side.
Yeah.
They did this with drugs. You know, Timothy Leary, the book out there called The Spirit Molecule. There's you know, a whole study and research on what these drugs do to open up the mind to the spiritual side, to receive, to see, to perceive,
mm-hmm.
You know, spiritual beings. And so we realize that there are drugs that help open that, you know, open people up.
Yeah.
And that's why you hear the stories of peyote and different things like that. But I think in the area of machinery, I believe here's again what I believe. I believe the inspiration behind some science comes directly from the demonic side.
Oh, yeah.
That the in scientists, in the most so-called learned and intellectual and you know, highly trained, that has nothing to do with the morality side.
Yeah.
The Nazi doctors, obviously, you know, being quote brilliant scientists, but evil maniacs at the same time. Mengele was, but they opened the doors, and the inspiration of the demonic throwing in the ideas, scientists waking up and having a new idea pop into their head, where did it come from? If they're unaided by the Spirit of God and understand, you know, don't understand how those feelings, involuntary feelings and thoughts can impress to create machinery. Look at Mr. Sherman in the book Above Project Preserve Destiny.
Yeah.
And you read about a guy that claims that he was in the NSA, National Security Agency, and that they literally have equipment that he was able to be kind of plugged into or connected to or whatever, to where he was able to receive. He was called an intuitive. And he was able to receive from the other side alien, intelligence, communication.
Well, isn't that also what Aleister Crowley and Jack Parsons of JPL were up to?
Well, agreed. And we need to look deeply into Scientology and what doorways they are opening, because they've sanitized Scientology into a very sanitized looking mind control, self mind control. But when you get higher up to the issue of Satans, and you're dealing with spirits, and you're dealing with what looks to me like the same thing I see in Luciferianism, the super secrecy, the initiations that go step by step by step into what they would consider higher levels, I consider lower levels.
And
it works the same way. Like the Gnostics, it's all about, you don't, even in recruiting in Satanism, you don't go you're not recruited the first time into a human sacrifice. You're recruited little by little by little, into, certain levels until you eventually can go to deeper things. And by that time, you're already, demonized and taking oaths and given over things and so forth before you're going to get to see some of the deep things. So people are going to see, spirits. They're going to see, say shadow people. They're seeing this presence on people. They're seeing it in dreams. They can be visited in dreams too, Georgie.
Sure. Yeah. Yep, that's true. With dreams, here again we come to this issue of electronic input. And you brought up something that is very interesting. If a person, if you're awake and you start getting thoughts that, you think are not your own, like go kill yourself or kill your family or something horrible, or even something about questioning the validity of Jesus Christ. If this were something that were being input through electronic or microwave means, you said, Russ, that if they can get away, if they can move out of the field, as it were, those kind of thoughts might stop.
Sure. Yeah, because in the area of the area of involuntary feelings and thoughts or voices in the head, with multiplicity, you can run to any city and you still have it.
Yeah.
If you're demonized, you can run to any city and you still have it.
Mm-hmm.
If it is voice to skull electronics, and there's somebody sitting across the street in a white van, aiming it at your house.
Yeah.
You're talking about high level, equipment, high technology, expensive technology. But it's, if you're in the range, if you get out of range, it can't affect you.
Yeah.
If you're out of the range of a rifle, all rifles have a range. All weaponry basically has a range. You can't shoot a bullet and go all the way around the world and come back to you.
Yeah.
It has a range, and so even the voice of skull issue has to be there, pointed at you, and I know there's more and more people that are beginning to feel that and sense that. We've dealt with that a number of times, and I discussed it with a guy that ran surveillance in Russia, worked for the CIA, and he understands. He discussed with us, like a laser, for example, from across the street, that as long as it's touching glass or something in the house, they can, it's a listening device. But there's also the sense of sending.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got technology now that can see through walls.
Yeah, oh yes.
And hear and see, you know, and look at night vision. That's incredible. I put on a pair of night vision goggles sometime back. They were old, not the newer stuff either, but the older stuff. But it's incredible what that does. You can see things that you wouldn't see in the dark.
Yeah.
And that tells you something about the limitations of our own sight, our own eyes. That, you know, if I turned on every light where I'm at right now, I would see nothing, and I would have to walk slowly. Otherwise, I'm going to fall over a table or run into, definitely run into a wall or whatever.
But with night vision, if,
right.
For example, some bright light
right.
is switched on, it can sure strip their eyeballs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. What even Christians need to realize is that on the dark side, just as me as a believer, you know, in receiving Christ, the Spirit of God, it's kind of like we've been given a new vision because we're able now not only to know that God is real, Jesus is real, and the Word of God now is open to us. We can read it and perceive it and know it. We can understand and hear the voice of God, be guided and directed by God. We can, so we've been opened up to see that side, to know that side. But it's just as true on the other side. When a person opens up to demons coming into their lives, the demons can give them sight into that demonic world, begin to lead them in a satanic synchronicity to even go darker and broader and stuff. And so they see things.
Mm-hmm.
Many times that I deal with people that are psychics and others and whatever, and they see things and sense things, and it's correct. I mean, they might sense this or see this, and or they might know. They were psychics that wanted to get involved with finding Jesse here, Davis, and that they wanted to, and the family didn't want it to happen. They were having prayer vigils and trusting a different source to eventually locate and find the body and bring resolve.
Well, you know, the idea of somebody stalking a pregnant woman and cutting her child out, which we've had several reports just this year of that sort of thing. Why is it, do you think, Russ, that never in mainline news, TV, whatever, the occult side of that is never, and not a breath about it.
Right. Well, we had one of our Shatter volunteers went to one of the days where I think like 1,000 people were out, and they talked to a couple of law enforcement agents, and they wanted to check in to see if there was anything occultic. And we looked into it a little bit, the case here locally, and there was nothing. This was a domestic thing.
Yeah.
Now, in other cases, I've told people this many times, when I went to the police academy and was trained, or when I got to teach in the police academy alongside other, you know, officers that were teaching in the course, I was a guest, you know, teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They always taught officers, deal with the crime, do not report the satanic side, do not create or incite panic. I've seen hundreds of slides of satanic crime and symbols and signs and all the stuff. That doesn't come out in the paper. Like Jeffrey Dahmer, it did not come out in the paper that he built an altar out of human thigh bones and skulls.
Yeah.
That he was into the dark side.
Sure.
That there was bizarre satanic and that he had satanic books and so forth that he was reading. He was into the dark side, and yet that didn't come out. It just came out that he was a bizarre, crazy man. And so you get this sanitized, secular, psychological look that washes away all the rest of the stuff. But it was all there, all the stuff about it, the spirits and everything, the voices, and the horrific cannibalism and so forth that he was into had inseparable connections to the demonic that he was involved with.
Wow. Have you heard anything, Russ, about the fact that mobile phones can be used to emit a frequency that kills a person?
No, I haven't heard that. I mean, I know that all of them have GPS tracking. You know, there was concerns, and there still is some concerns, that phones can create a tumor in your head if you use it too much. So it obviously has, and this is a true story, too, with truckers and law enforcement. Years ago, they were getting a high number of, you know, prostate cancer and so forth. You know, like an officer's in the car, and he has those old-type cell phones, those old, big-looking things, and they set it on their lap while they're talking and doing whatever else. So there's been some studies on that. But I surely don't doubt the growing ability in technology for something like that to occur.
Well, shifting a little bit here, in Scripture, you know, it says that every eye will see him. Okay. Could, and we have this false concept of what he looks like. Very, you know, Greekized concept.
Yeah.
You know, how easy would it be for them to, you know, use these technologies to do exactly that?
I think they can do that and deceive the... Because remember, in the last days, the deception is to deceive the elect if that were possible.
Right.
As Jesus said. And that's how far it will go. And it could be technology, and it could, or it can be the combination. Now, the difficulty, I mean, the thing, I sit here and think, and I guess, well, knowing the Spirit of God... And having the Spirit of God inside of you, and the Bible saying, greater is the one who's in you than the one who's in the world. So if they were to project some kind of technology where it's like, look, it's Jesus in the air, I guess I would have to say, for real believers, do you discern this with the Spirit of God? Does the Spirit of God agree? Does the Holy Spirit witness to that fact?
Yeah.
I would think that non-believers might see something like that, but then, you know, we also know that, Jesus, the better you know Scripture, you know what he will do and what he will not do.
Yeah.
So if they have Jesus, like playing like Spider-Man, jumping from building to building, oh, it's Jesus. No, it's not him. he said that they would, you know, those people can say, he's over here, he's over there, he's over, you know. So there's going to be a lot of, I think, people claiming to be, sightings, all kinds of things. And Jesus warned that none of that would be true. That as lightning stretches, you know, as far as from the east to the west, as clear and broad and powerful as that is, so will the appearance of the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
It will be incredible. So the eyes of our heart have been opened up by the Spirit of God in salvation.
Right.
But there's another seeing. John the Baptist saw with his own eyes. Of course, he was filled with the Spirit. He saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus like a dove.
Right.
Literally, we can, even as believers, see, in a sense, see the movement of God and the presence of God affect people. And so there's a seeing that we have now, but think about what's going to happen in glorification.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, our eyes are opened. Call it a new frequency. Call it whatever you want to. It says that we shall see God face to face.
Yes.
So we're talking about a capacity. And that's what's offered in Jesus Christ. That's what's offered in salvation,
right,
is the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of love, the gift of guidance, the gift of knowing truth that brings about an absolute assurance of, coming into the presence of God and seeing God face to face.
Okay, why is that message, Russ, so hard for a lot of Christians out there? They just don't, that's just like going one step too far. They just don't believe it, I guess.
Well, I think that's true about a lot of again, scriptures excite, should excite us.
Yes.
It should just literally jazz us. You know, and I think in terms of reading Revelation 20 and reading about how God's going to work and what he's going to do, and then, of course, even Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1, that on the day of God, the day of Christ, when he returns and there's an apocalypse, the visible return, not only is the world, every eye shall see him.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that the whole world eventually, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is really the true Lord.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a seeing in the world, of course, in the book of Revelation, fallen world that takes the mark. They fear. They want to hide from the face of the Lamb of God coming.
Yes.
Whereas you and I as a believer, listen, when we're glorified in that resurrection, mm-hmm. When we're changed in that atomic, instant flash, mortal into immortality, the physics of our being completely changed, Georgianne.
Yeah.
We are going to be a part of a class of beings that, how can I say this? It hasn't yet occurred,
yeah.
But even creation knows that it will, Romans chapter 8. They're waiting for that revelation of the sons of God, that glorification of the children of God, because that new heavens and new earth also. So there's an anticipation in creation in the heavens. The only glorified one right now is Christ.
Yeah.
And the Bible in the Greek calls him the prototype.
Okay.
And when we're made, our lowly bodies are made, the Greek word metamorphosis is used, we're changed, but it's not that counterfeit, long-term, slow, a new age version of a spiritual evolution.
Yeah.
Evolution.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is an instantaneous, just like salvation is an instantaneous birth. It's, just like conception. When conception occurs, it's an explosion of life. The human spirit is created, and that little thing is immediately a life at the moment of conception and will continue to grow until you're 90 or whatever, whenever you whether in the womb or out of the womb, until the physical body, dies.
Yeah.
So in spiritual birth, the new birth is similar, instantaneous, but sanctification is that progressive growing and developing in Christ, bearing fruit, and then glorification, Georgianne, is the instantaneous. I mean, even the Greek word, where we get our word atom or atomic, is used in 1 Corinthians 15 in that that we shall be changed on an atomic level. So we are changed in such a way instantly that we're gathered around the descending Christ and we see him, and literally the scriptures predicts that we're going to be in absolute awe and wonderment as we get to see the living Christ. Now, it does say about those who reject Christ that they shall be shut out from his presence into an eternal destruction.
Yes.
And for those who have, embraced the rescue that God has given, God wills all men to be saved, he wants that to happen, and that's part of the age that we're living in and that offer to the whole world. But only those who've come to love him, only those who've come to know him, only those who have said yes.
You know, we're told in Scripture, this is, this should just rock everybody. God Almighty, the Father of Jesus Christ, is going to make this planet his headquarters. He's going to live here.
That's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Wow, yeah, yeah.
It's an amazing thing, and why wouldn't we think so? But didn't he walk on the with Adam and Eve in the beginning?
Right.
I mean, it's his anyway. It's not like a foreign place. Mm-hmm. It became foreign under the reign and rule of Satan and sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything was God's originally, and so this massive interruption, this massive invasion of evil, was dealt with at the cross and will be dealt with in the end. It was all one at the cross, but you know, I love what a songwriter called that. He called it the wood between the worlds.
Wow! Yeah.
And again, the if you want to call it the gateway, Jesus is the door, according to Book of John, John's Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is the doorway to the face of God. And so Luciferian, Satanists, and others, you know, if they understand portals and doors and so forth, if they understand that demons or spirits give initiations and powers, then they need to understand that the living God, he also, you know, gives powers and so forth.
Right.
And think in terms of what the offer is. Mm-hmm. The explicit and immediate forgiveness, total forgiveness of all evil, sin, wrong, and the complete washing of our whole being, the infusion of the life of God coming into us, the powers of God, the gift of eternity, that every single promise written in Scripture becomes yours personally as a new believer in Christ.
Right.
And I have no problem joyfully telling individuals. We were on the streets last Friday in one of our outreaches with the Shatter team, and got to, two guys, just a guy and a lady, got out of the cab. And as soon as they did, we started talking to him and sharing, and just talking to him about Jesus. And here, this one fella, he going to one church and going to another church, but it was going to a Mormon church for a while. And I asked him, and we engaged him on that issue, why he doesn't go any longer, and who Jesus really is. And so we were out there on the streets just sharing. And it's an amazing thing to be able to look at people and say, you know what, I mean, I know God. And I will, there's no question about it. I can say it right now. I know that I know that I know I shall see God face to face, and I believe. Like many times my daughter comes by and I'll grab her, give her a hug, and I'll just stop her for a minute to look at her face, just look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks back at me. That's a neat engagement for me as a dad, to look at my daughter and just have that look of love, and she knows, you know, that I love her. She knows her dad loves her and cares about her and everything else. When God looks at me in the face, Georgianne, there's people in the New Age that they're prizing all these little eclectic experiences.
Yeah.
But I've never met one that says I know God. They don't have. There's no assurance that they're ever going to see God. Matter of fact, they fear, or maybe they're angry at God because they don't know. But I know one day that not only will I see God looking right at me and into me, but I know it's going to be this friendly, incredibly brilliant, generous, and kind, yet infinite, immeasurable. It's going to be hard to fathom.
Yeah.
But I already have the taste. The Spirit of God's been given as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come.
Well, we've had, you know, there's a down payment on us, and it's called the blood of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, you go down and you want to, this, I hate this kind of an analogy, but you want a house, and you go and you put up earnest money, a down payment, and that's what he's done for us, but it is complete. And the only way, Russ, that we can mess it up is we ourselves do it, you know, that we reject him, we reject God. You know, in other words, to me, it would be out of God's character to just, oh, gee, you did something wrong. You're going to go to the pit. I think he gives people a lot of rope, and it's what we do with that rope that he watches. Some people, he gives them a lot of money, and then he watches what they do.
Sure.
You know, and most people don't pass that test very well.
No.
You know, I mean, He gives us so much in the way of love and mercy and peace if we want it.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, that's what he promises. I mean, Jesus said the thief comes, kill, steal, and destroy. He's come to give life, Zoe. That's the life that flows out of heaven.
Yes.
And life, Zoe, to the full, to abundantly.
Right.
That's the promise of God. And so there's the goodness. There's the impact. So in the midst of all of the spiritual things that are happening to people out there, one of the questions is what you're into leading you to the heart, the face, the compassion, the love, the assurance of God himself? And if it's not the Spirit of God's work in your life, if it's really the fallen spirits, I can guarantee you that they're leading you in the opposite direction. They're moving you farther and farther from the throne of God.
Amen. That's true. That's true. So, with all of this stirring that's going on in the heavenlies, we know that, you know, this war has been raging for a long time, but it is ramping up, and we know that. And we know a lot of people are feeling exasperated, panicky, depressed. And some people will say, you know, I really have no reason to feel panicky. Where is this coming from? Why, you know, why these sudden thoughts that I need to kill myself? Well, one of two things for us. It's either coming from the demonic side or it's this technology broadcasting certain
sure.
frequencies that people are very, what do you call it, susceptible to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to see a lot more of this, and it's going to get tougher and tougher.
Well, it's clear to the prediction and clearly what the scriptures teach, and that's part of the warning, though. Part of what we can use and what a believer can use is the, you know, preemptive prophecy. I like to call it preemptive because God's given us glimpses not only to what he's going to be doing in the future, but what the enemy's doing.
Yeah.
And we can begin to point at those things and say, listen, just as God said 700 years before Jesus came, he would be born of a virgin, or be born in Bethlehem, or, you know, that he would be sold out by someone close to him, Judas. Or literally, it prophesied that he would be sold out for 30 pieces of silver. 1,000 years prior, that there would be a declaration that his physical body would not see decay because of the resurrection.
Right.
So just as the Old Testament gives pinpoint, accurate, and total fulfillment, so the New Testament will also have complete and absolute fulfillment. And this is the amazing. Only God can do that. It blows Nostradamus out of the water.
Yeah.
Gene Dixon can't scratch this. The surface of biblical prophecy and fulfillment. And they're amazing things. They're amazing things. And you're right. I believe the demonic hordes are gathered at the borders of the veil.
Oh, yeah.
And they're popping through wherever humanity is opening the doors. And there'll be more and more and more and more, unprecedented, unequaled in all of history.
Now, Russ, if someone is really earnestly walking the walk and trying very hard to maintain and deepen their relationship with God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, if that person starts having huge demonic attacks, could they also look for in their family history or their immediate family or people they're around, you know, curses and other
sure.
things, you know, that are opening, giving legal right and opening the door, but this person that's experiencing it is really baffled by,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. That's the experience of Job. He was baffled.
Yeah.
He didn't know to the very end what was really going on behind the scenes. He saw only the physical effects, not the cause.
Yeah.
And it was horrific to him and terrible to him that the demonic realm could have effect over his buildings, over his wealth, over weather, over his physical health,
yeah,
and a diseased body, and over all of that. So, yeah, I mean, and that's part of the nature of being a real believer, a strong believer. Yeah, Satan loves to attempt to attack, but the other side of that story is God loves to intervene, and even when we go through things, can give us triple the amount back. And we read in James chapter 5, verse 11, that we are to look at the Job experience and see the compassion of the Lord and what he finally brought about.
Yeah.
You know, our story's not over yet. And so for you and for others, God has the ability to bring about an incredible better half, a better second half of life than even the first half. For Job, the second half of his life was far greater and better than the first half.
Oh, yeah.
After he went through the most hellacious battle ever.
Horrible, yeah.
Horrible, absolutely. But the good news, too, is a believer, no matter what occurs, you can still live in the power, expressed power of God, Romans or Ephesians 6:10. And matter of fact, it's easier to deal with battles and a satanic attack when we're totally living in, as a spirit-filled, empowered, armor-on believer.
Yeah.
It's better to be tenacious and strong and fight than to cave and to grow passive and cold because nothing, we don't do anything then. When we're on the floor, we can lay there as long as we want to.
Yeah.
But when you want to get up in the mighty power of God, put on the armor of God, stand in the power of God, and rebuke the enemy and praise God and stand before the Lord and grow stronger, you can. If that's what, you know, if you want to avail yourself in those times, you can still grow stronger and come through like this incredible, you know, powerful trained, experienced believers that we need pillars.
Mm-hmm.
We need rock solid, immovable, indestructible Christians out there that just they want to live like David, fight Goliath face to face. You know, they want to be like Josiah and go out there and crush the satanic doorways. You know, Nehemiah, the powerful, quick leadership. Daniel and the purity and the integrity. You know. Philip, the incessant evangelism and supernatural leadings and angelic visitations. So no matter what, the best thing to do is to live strongly for the Lord no matter what you're going through. And it's easier then, it's better then, and you come out on the other side without regret.
That's right. Wow. Russ, there must be 1,000 more questions. Oh, my gosh. But I'd like to ask you right now if you would please close with a prayer.
Sure.
You know, to strengthen people because this time is, we're entering into a very difficult time, I know.
Sure. Fathers, we just simply just bow our knees before you right now, Lord, and we acknowledge you. We thank you. I'm going to ask you right now that the Spirit of God will bless every single listener, that there will be such a providential release of your presence. Stretch out your hands, God, to literally touch individual listeners right now, whether it's an immediate thing tomorrow or 10 weeks from now or 10 months from now. God, we just pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is unchangeable. God, save, heal, bless, encourage, pour out your Spirit, give great encouragement to those in their homes, to those who feel lonely. God, I just pray, invade with grace and mercy, lift up the countenance of individuals. God, we pray for just sparks of revival that would move individuals, that there would be tremendous burden and passion and power to become witnesses for Christ, even in these days. that there would be a defiance on the side of the body of Christ concerning the evil, that we would live in defiance to it, in resistance to it, that we would submit to God, resist the devil and evil, and watch it flee in defeat, and to be strong. We acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, the blood that was shed, the life that was given, and the love of the Father towards us. And we just simply pray that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, can be saved. God, I ask you to supernaturally, in glorifying Jesus and in his name, for you to heal individuals. I rebuke in the name of Jesus oppression and demonic, you know, attack off people's lives, and that they would experience an immediate freedom by the living Christ and his authority. And I just pray that you will even stretch out your hands to heal, to perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of and to the glory of the Holy Servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless George Ann, the show, all the consistent listeners that we've heard from and that we know download and take these things and listen to them and hand them out and bring others. God, may they know that providentially it has been arranged for a purpose, that individuals can reach out and by faith touch God in Christ. And bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And once again, I ask, Father, to send his Holy Spirit to women that are alone with their children and women that are alone, period. I ask for blessings and protection and provision for these women, as well as so many men that are alone, and many of our veterans that have returned from Iraq, and they need our prayers. And I'm asking people out there, please pray for these people and the people that are shut in and the elderly. People forget about these people. And they need prayer and they need help. And if you're in the position to stop by and help somebody, do so. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, everybody. Russ, you have a course. Where are you at in that, and are you going to start a new one?
Yeah, we're going to start a new one. We'll have a couple more this summer posted for internet sale.
Okay.
People can go to the website anytime. They can order Freedom Encounters or Confronting the Powers or The Black Awakening. They have anywhere from, 20 to 30, up to 30 hours of the sessions and lectures. So they can order any of those three courses at any time, purchase them through PayPal, and there'll be Theocentric Counseling coming up, another one called Engaging Spiritual Warfare, one on witnessing coming up. And then in September, we're going to teach a new local course here, and we'll also record the local course and put that up eventually. And so more and more of the courses will go up.
Great. Well, you're doing a huge service to many of the people out there, Russ, and God bless you for it. And I highly recommend that the listeners get in touch with you and get busy and start learning, because you're going to need it, believe me. Some of you already are aware of that need. This is George Ann Hughes with Pastor Russ Dizdar signing off. We will be back, God willing. God bless everyone for listening. And God bless you, Russ.
Thank you.
Good night.